and welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. This is Tammy. I'm your host for tonight. I want to just say a special, special thank you for those who are tuning in, because tonight is, the topic is a challenging topic, I should say that. I won't say tonight will be, but the topic is a challenging topic for some, and I understand that some of you who have expressed already your concern about the topic, but as I've mentioned on Facebook earlier, if you keep an open mind, and so does our special guest tonight. I was reading the very back of her book today a little bit earlier and had missed that part on the very back about if you would just, you know, remove any anger and frustration, and this is straight from the back of Lori Hardy's book, remove any anger, frustration, disagreement, or aggression, you will benefit from the information and knowledge that she shares in her book. Basically, it will be empowering to your potential to achieve a successful and healthy relationship, not just with others, but with yourself, which is the start, a must, in order to have a relationship with someone else. So thank you, a special thank you for those who didn't allow this topic to keep you from tuning in tonight. Special, special, special thank you. Before introducing our guest and what we're going to do, I'm going to allow her to give you some background about herself and so forth. But before doing that, I want to make sure that we go over our housekeeping things. For those of you who are listening by chat, the chat line is open. Remember, you can submit questions or comments there. In addition, if you have not registered for a follower, you may have some issues trying to submit your comments and questions. So for tonight, you can just call in using the number 818-691-7406. For our new listeners, the way that we pull you in, you do have to select the number 1 in order for me to know that you do have a question or comment. And the way that I will pull you in is I will provide the area code that you are calling from and the last 4 digits of the number. And again, that is the number that you are using to call into the show. I will provide your area code and the last 4 digits of the number that you are calling from. So in addition to that, I'm going to remind you all of the trash can concept as well, but I want to do that at the end of the show. So I'll share that with you for those of you who are just tuning in. Stay with us, tuning in for the first time. Be sure to hang on throughout the show's entirety so that you can get connected with our Butterfly Evolution trash can concept. It's an interesting thing. Lori, we have on with us tonight, and the title of her book is There Are No Good Men Because There Are No Good Women. That is the actual title of the book. Now, the way that I posted this in the media world is I formed it as a question. Are there no good men because there are no good women? And so this is, regardless if people are willing to admit it or not, I would say just at one point in time, most everyone has said this once or twice in their lifetime or thought it based on whatever you've gone through and so forth. So this title, of course, struck my interest. You all who have listened to this show and know me well, you've heard me say over and over again that women can stop what's going on today. We have the power to control what's going on or what we accept and what we allow in this world today. It is because what we are putting up with, and I'm not saying, of course, there are plenty of good men, there are plenty of good women, but why is it that so many good men are being passed up and what's become the focus is the bad man? That's who gets our attention, our whatever you want to call it. So, of course, in no way are we saying there are no good men or no good women. We are wanting to discuss this, to open eyes, to bring awareness to you about your choices and what you are allowing in your life. And if you've been there, done that, don't allow your sister to stay there and do that. Speak up, keep it moving if you have to, because at some point in time, they'll come back and won't help getting out. So without further ado, I want to introduce Ms. Lori Hardy. And Lori, just tell us as much as you'd like for us to know about what you're doing, what you have going on, about your book, and then what we're going to do is just go into tonight's topic in your book.
Well, thank you, Tammy. I appreciate you having me on your show. And I just want to say to the women, out there and the men who are listening, that, as Tammy has said, don't take the title personally. You know, I cannot say that there aren't any good men or there aren't any good women. That's not the focus of it. It's just that my experience in this area, and the reason why I wrote the book, is that I hear it a lot, you know, and it's, I know that when people say it, they know that that's not entirely true. It's just I believe that that's their experience that they've had, that the people that they encounter or that they had relationships with, that they feel that, you know, they've done them wrong, so they automatically classify them as no good men or no good women. But the reason why I got started, I wrote this book, is because of my friends, the people I heard about. And I just wanted to change the thought process of women, because we as women, as Tammy just said, we have the power. We hold the keys. We are the driver as far as, you know, how that relationship is going to go. You can't sit there and say, okay, there are no good men, but yet you turn around and you allow men to cheat on you, to dog you out, not provide for you, not to love you, you know, abuse you. You know, all these things contribute to, you know, you are contributing to a no good man. And once a man realizes that a woman is going to take the mess that he puts out, he's going to continue to do it. And you accept it, you are responsible for it. You can't be mad at him for the way you allow him to treat you. You have to stand up, have some standards, and stick to them. Don't allow, you know, don't settle and say, okay, well, he did A, B, and C, and I let him do X, Y, and Z. You know, you can't do that. If you're not happy with that, and if you don't like that, don't start it. You don't ever want to start something that you can't complete or finish, because now he has ammunition to come to you and say, well, you know, you've been letting me do it all this time. You know, so why are we changing now? So you have to have some standards and stand your ground and don't allow him to abuse you. You said, like I said, you're in control. You got the power. Tell him how you want to be treated. And if he doesn't, move on to the next one. Stop allowing these men to abuse you. You have the ability to say, hey, it stops right here. Don't get be impatient. Just to have somebody in your life or just to show off this guy to your girlfriend, don't do that. Be patient, wait, and God will provide you the person who is perfect for you and compatible with you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, Lord, tell us where you're from, and I have a lot highlighted out of the book, so I'm sure I'll tap into some of the things you're going to provide again, but tell us where you're from, and some of the additional things you have going on in addition to the book, your website and things like that. And we'll want to repeat it again at the very end as well before we go into the show.
Okay, sure. Well, I'm from the Chicagoland area. I've been here practically all my life. I have three kids, and that was one of the main reasons why, other one of the main reasons why I wrote the book, is because I wanted to empower them with my knowledge and experience so they wouldn't make the same mistakes that I made. Because, see, I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect and because I wrote the book and I know everything and that I've never made any mistakes. Most of that stuff that's in that book, I've done it. I've been there. So that's why I can write about it, because I've got experience. But I didn't want my kids to go through the same things I went through, so I want to give them, you know, the tools to, you know, to kind of like shield them from that or give them the knowledge so that when it happens, they will know. So, and I work for the county, and I'm writing. You know, writing has always been my passion. I had five books going at the same time and wasn't devoting enough time to any of them to complete one. So I had to rearrange my thought process and focus on one book, and so that's why I came up with this one. And then because I like to write and I wrote a lot of plays for church, I decided I wanted to do a play off my book. So right now, I've already written a play. I'm just in the process of finding individuals to play the parts. And I plan on traveling around all over the United States doing this play with God, if God's willing, you know, because I think it's a message that I can share with everybody around the world, not just in my local area. So if you're looking to, if you're in the Chicagoland area, of course, mostly the western suburbs, and you want audition, I would be more than happy for you to do, because I'm looking for Hispanics, Caucasians, and African Americans. And so if you want to contact me, you can contact me at lhardy@empowermentforlife4.com. And if you want to purchase my book, you can go to empowermentforlife4.com and purchase my book there as well.
Okay, wonderful. And we're going to give that information out throughout the show for those of you who may need to kind of come in and come out of getting texts that some of you will, or one of you in particular, one of our faithful listeners, will kind of be in and out tonight. So we want to continue to keep giving that out. So we'll give that out at the very end. But, again, the name of the book is There Are No Good Men Because There Are No Good Women. And I just want to, a couple of things I want to piggyback before starting on what you just said. Been there, done that. It is so important that you all realize, even, she made me think about myself, even though I'm coming, doing this show every Monday, I have said to you guys, this is as much as for me as it is you all. As Lori said, been there, done that, so have I. Boy, I look back, and as I continue to grow, and I say continue because it is a daily process, renewing your mind and keeping those thoughts fresh and positive and keeping those thoughts based on where you know that you are going, moving forward, and always remembering where you're coming from so that you remind yourself the feelings that you had when you were there, the anger that you had towards yourself, the dislike for yourself that you put out. You gave that energy out, portraying that it was about someone else, but really it's internalized anger. You're angry with yourself because of what you're putting up with, the things that you are allowing, how trapped you feel. Well,
exactly.
If you feel trapped, get up and get out, because you don't realize how, I love the fact that Lori says about her children, and I actually have this underline in the acknowledgments, how you told your children, you wrote this book because you wanted your children to know, fulfill your dreams, you know, do what you love, basically. Do what you love to do. You love what you're doing. And the way you do what you love is to know what you love. The way to know what you love is to love yourself and know who you are.
Exactly.
So we've been there, done that. We really have. I have. That's why I'm able to come on this show and do this and get such joy and healing out of doing it.
Right. Exactly. You know, and there was something that you had said earlier, Tammy, about the challenges that we have. Are we, you know, women, I think about when women say there's no good men, it's because a lot of times, and men do it too, when they say there's no good women, we look for the physical package. If the package is not physically attracting to us, we don't want to pursue that any further. And that man or woman could be your perfect mate. But because you didn't find them physically attractive, you know, you pass them by. Now, don't get me wrong. Physical attraction is very important in a relationship. You have to be able to tolerate the look of that person in order to be with them. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that you should go for Quasimodo because, you know, he's paying all your bills and providing everything for you and you just can't stand to look at him. That is not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that if you can look at him, but he doesn't drive the BMW, or he doesn't have the house on the hill, or he doesn't have the six-pack, you know, why don't you relax a little bit about that and say, hey, you know, he's a great guy. He's a good provider. He's a good conversationalist. I mean, the things that you are looking for, he has all the things that you are looking for except for the physical attraction. He's not Denzel Washington or Brad Pitt or whatever. You know, you have to learn to say, hey, but he loves me. He respects me. He meets all my, you know, standards. You know, I know you said you were going to go over the things in my book because I have a chapter in there, List versus Standards, and a lot of women have lists instead of standards. There's no standards on their list. It's just about a list of a nice car, nice body, you know, six-figure job, you know, all this kind of this materialistic stuff. And nowhere on their list is that he has to love me. He has to love my kids. If you have kids, he has to respect me. He has to provide for me. You know, none of those things are on their list. And I'm like, okay, what about this list that you think that is a good thing that you're going to get the perfect man? You know, a relationship without love, trust, and communication is nothing. It's nothing. All that materialistic stuff that you desire, if you really, really want it, you should work with him to get it, or he should work with you to get it. You shouldn't be depending on one person to provide you the material things that you desire in life. So
right.
I just wanted to touch on that when you said it earlier. So.
Right, and Lori, you know, a good point to make out of that as well is for everyone, remember how it feels. I'm sure we've all been here as well. Remember how it feels. The attractive person, even the person that you once loved, once you stop loving them in that way, they're not as attractive as they used to be to you. I mean, really, it's a tough thing to be with someone that you no longer love and have that that emotional feeling for as that you need in a relationship. It's almost that person becomes a different person even in the way that they look to you. So again, you're so right. You're so right about those standards. You have a list, but we don't always look at that list and say, okay, what are my standards? What type of values? What type of integrity does this person have? Who is he under pressure? You know, in the book also, and I can't remember what chapter it is right now, but you do mention, it may be under that same chapter, where waiting on God, and you say that there are women in the church going to church thinking God's going to send this man into church, or they're going to meet this perfect man at church. In most cases, there's a perfect man there. You just maybe think he's too heavy or too skinny or not tall enough or too short, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah.
It's
a good man. You miss the provider, the caretaker, the person that is going to love you, love your children, take care of you when you are sick, be there for you through thick and thin.
Exactly, exactly. And it's. I'm glad you brought it up because I know a lot. I'm a church girl. I was raised in the church and stuff, and I go to church. And I clearly remember women in the church. That they are, like, really focused, that they just know. And please don't think that I'm judging anybody because I'm not. I'm not in the judging business. That's not my job. That's God's job. But they will sit there year after year after year after year after year waiting on God to send their mate. And it's like, God doesn't just send your mate at your church. God will send you. God has the ability and the capability to send your mate anywhere. So you just can't focus on church. Oh, I can't talk to you because you don't go to my church. Or, you know, I can't talk to you because, you know, you don't go to this place. You don't believe in this. And this. I mean, okay, I understand. If you don't want to be with somebody who doesn't have the same faith as you, that's fine. But to just to sit there and wait on God to send your mate. And then sometimes when God does send the mate to the church, they sit there and they be like, no, you're not the one. You're not the one because God knows that I want him to be 6'5" and dark skin and goatee and chiseled body and stuff. And he knows that's what I wanted. And if you were the one, that's how you would look. And it's like you're expecting God to send your mate in a gold package, and instead he sent him in a purple package and you passed him up. So I can't tell you how many times women have said that. I have friends now to this day who still sit in that church waiting on God to send their mate. And it's like, for real? I mean, you know, you got to get out there. I'm not saying women need to go and search for the man because that's not our job. Definitely not our job. We got to turn our search lights off. But you need to make yourself available. You can't just put yourself in a box and expect that God is going to send your mate right to the church. Because if we look at the statistics, the ratio between women and men at church is not that great. And the men who do come to church are either married, engaged, or the pastor. You know what I'm saying? And you know, most of the time the pastor's already taken. So you guys have to, you know, you have to open yourself up to other, you know, venues, you know, to meet people. I mean, I'm not saying to go to the clubs. I'm not saying to go to any place that you don't feel comfortable with. But you can have, you know, parties at your house, you know, dinner parties. You guys can hook up people. You can go to bowling and go out. I mean, you just got to go out and do things. You just can't just put yourself in a little cocoon at the church, because 9 times out of 10, it's not going to happen, because most of the guys who come there are either invited, got somebody married or whatever, and your chances of being with them are slim and none. You know, so I just say to women, open yourself up.
And in addition to that, when we get, say, for instance, you see all those things, you have this idea, man, as you were saying, the six-pack, the tall, dark-skinned, light-skinned, the goatee, all these things, and then you mm-hmm. look over what standards, what personal standards you need to in order to be fulfilled, and this is for man and woman. This is just not a woman thing. But you have right. all this perception of what type of man, what he needs to look like and this and that, and then when you – if you get him or you get in a relationship with that person, then you want that person to change and do all the things that you need in order to feel fulfilled. But see, that person doesn't possess those traits. So now where is the relationship going to go?
And that's one of the problems, that women, they get caught up, men too, men more so than women. You know, they get caught up in the look. And then they start to accept and explain away their behavior that they originally wouldn't accept from someone who was less attractive. You know, attractive people get away with a lot more than unattractive people. And when I say unattractive, I'm talking, you know, relative term as far as, you know, that what is attractive to you. I think everybody's pretty. Everybody should have the perfect mate for them, and, you know, what attracted to you may not be attracted to me. That's just human nature. Well, when I say unattractive, I'm talking about that you deem unattractive, and you will allow a super good-looking person to do the things that you know that you would not accept from an unattractive person, and you'd be ready to condemn them to hell because they did that to you. You thought that was just so wrong. But then a good-looking person come and do the same exact thing, or even worse, and you try, well, he really didn't mean it, or she really didn't mean it, you know, and, you know, then you constantly forget him, you're making excuses, and it's like a vicious cycle, and you get so deep, sometimes you can't even get out, and you feel like you've invested so much time, money, and effort into this relationship that you're going to hit the jackpot soon, and in reality, you're not, because guess what? That person does not care about you, because if that person cared about you, they would not treat you the way that they did and make you feel bad. They just wouldn't. A person that cares about somebody doesn't want to see them hurt. A person that cares and loves about you will provide and protect you. They're not going to, if they do something to you, it's unintentional. It's not intentional. And when people have to stop allowing people to, just because they look good or, you know, they got somebody, allow them to do that to them, because it's not acceptable. And just look at that person from the angle that you would look at an unattractive person and say to yourself, would I allow so-and-so to do that to me? And if the answer is no, then you need to run fast.
Exactly. And I want to remind you, the lines are open. You can select if you have a question or a comment. I know you've not read the book, but what we're going to do tonight is just kind of, we've touched on a few things, I think, that I have highlighted. And without giving away the book, because, of course, you know, she does want people to buy it. That's the purpose, and want you to read it and form your own opinion and perception of it, and hopefully it will empower your life and your relationships, particularly with yourself, so that you can better have relationships with others. But what exactly. We're going to go through the book, and I'd like to start, I think I've touched on the acknowledgement. There's a second part in there. You talk about Mr. Michael. And so she has a good man. She found a good man, has a good man. And so, of course, again, we're not saying that there are no good men, but you talk about how Michael encouraged you to write this book. It was something already in you, but I wanna stop there for a minute because I continue to say men, fathers, brothers, uncles, friends, male friends, you have no idea how much influence you have on the women in your life, positively or negatively. You have no idea how you can encourage the lady in your life, your wife, your significant other, your girlfriend, your sister. You have, especially fathers, I cannot say enough about fathers. You can never do too much to show your daughters that you love them. And it's not about the money. It's about the time and how you make her feel.
Oh, that is so true, Tammy. And, you know, with this huge epidemic, especially in the Black community, where there are tons of kids being born every year without fathers in their life. I mean, of course, they got a father, but that father is not present in their life. And we talk about the boys, how, you know, they need the fathers, and that goes without question. Boys definitely need their fathers in their life in order for them to teach them how to be men. That goes without question. But it's also a very significant part that men play in girls' life because you have to show her the type of man that she needs to be looking for, not the type of man that she shouldn't be looking for. You know, not the type of man that you don't want to be the type of man that she shouldn't be looking for. You want to be the type of man that she should be looking for. And because women, girls don't have that father figure, most of the time they go out and pick the wrong type of man. You know, it's very disheartening to see girls, you know, show all their bodies, have on these short skirts and two little tops because they feel like they have to do that in order to get the attention of the boy. But if they had a male figure in their life, they would be like, they would know that their father would tell them, you know, baby girl, you don't have to dress like that. You're beautiful just the way you are. If a man really wants you, he ain't going to want to see all that. You know, he's going to want you to be covered up. He wants someone he can take home to his mama, you know, not someone that's, you know, dressed like a hooker, you know, but she don't have anybody in her life for that. So kids need both parents. That's why I feel, and this is not to take away from anybody who has a gay or lesbian relationship. Like I said, I'm not here to judge, but I feel like that's why it takes a man and a woman to have a kid because it takes a man and a woman to raise one.
Right. And see, taking the no good men and no good women, taking it to another level, you know, we don't want to talk about this, but what is a good man? What is a good woman? When you think about the number of and again, not judging, but you think about the number of young girls who are being raised without fathers, and I'm not saying the father is great if the father is in the house, but fathers, if you are not in the house, you still have a responsibility and accountability to that young lady and young man. You still are accountable. So when you talk about good men and women, it just doesn't stop in a relationship. It starts there, of course. It should start with how you like yourself, love yourself, and vice versa. But even in the way you treat your children, and this is mothers and fathers today, because we have as many absent mothers as we do fathers today. They're becoming almost becoming just tit for tat. It's like we're chasing the world, chasing the things, and our kids are raising themselves. So that alone can account for when we say no good men and no good women. Now, of course, there are, but we got to get back to what determines if someone is good or not, because it's just not about how you love me in the bed or how you look. It's about are you going to take care of our children? It goes so deep, you know?
And we all know the problem is that the reason why there's so many of these fatherless children is because there's so much sex going on, and kids are having sex at a lot earlier age, because I'm going to tell you, the kids nowadays, the things that they know about sex, I didn't know until I was in my 30s. I'm just going to tell you, I was a late bloomer. Most of the people I know of my age were late bloomers. We didn't know that stuff. And it's because of the internet and the technology that we have now that these kids are so advanced in the sex area. But because they are and they're having a lot of sex a lot earlier and stuff, these girls are coming up pregnant. And, of course, at 17, 18, 19, 20, even up to 25, what boy, he's a boy, to call it what it is, he's a boy, he's not going to want to raise a child. I mean, most, because the woman is carrying it, you know, it's hard for a mother to cut those ties. But a guy can just say, well, you know, the first thing that comes out of his mouth, say, hey, man, you've been sleeping with so-and-so and so-and-so. You know, so that ain't mine. So I think that if we can get the guys, first of all, you know, to get educate them about, you know, responsibility and sex and condom and stuff. I mean, I know we've been preaching that for years. If we can get them to that point, and then if we can get them to understand that, you know, give them some strong examples of how kids have turned out without fathers, and then also let them know that this is your seed. You know, this is your seed, and you don't have to stay with the woman. You know, that would be idyllic, but just be responsible for your creation. This is your creation. Come by, you know, teach them, her, whatever, the things in life that are pertinent from you that is going to help them be better citizens. And I think a lot of times they think they're just going to be tied down and not going to be able to do stuff. And in a way, kind of sort of, they will, but still can have a life. They can have a life and still raise a child. It's been done. It's been done. It's being done. It's going to be done in the future. So it's like we have to start educating these kids before this really gets out of hand, you know, because it's like we need some strong role models to help raise these kids. Because Hillary Clinton said it the best. It takes a village. And that's the way it was back in the day when I was growing up. It took a village to raise. We could say stuff to the adults could say stuff to me, and my mom would, they would whoop me, and I get home, and my parents would whoop me. You know, they didn't allow the kids to just run rampant in the streets and do whatever. Nowadays, you can't talk to the parents because they jump on you for saying something to their child that will tell us to your child in the first place. So we need to change things to where it's going, and hopefully we can get a handle on this. Otherwise, it's just going to be, whew, so out of control.
Right. We really are there. But it's not that we can't get it back, because our children, our youth, are waiting on some good men. They're waiting on some good women. And the ones that are considered good are good. We've become so quiet. It's like, okay, well, my world is fine. I'm good. My world is fine. But we have to speak up. You can't just be good and not spread goodness and share the goodness and share what you know and what you've been through, like you're doing in this book. You've turned all the things that you weren't so happy about, or the things that how you were looking at life and doing, in the same in this show. So that's why, for those of you who tuned in a little bit later, we're saying she's able to write this book because of what she went through and the changes that she made in her life. The renewing of her mind, her mindset. Same here with me. Thank God for this show. I'm thinking I'm bringing this for other people. Lord, it has helped me beyond measure grow.
Oh.
Am I there? Oh. Absolutely not. Am I better than I was even yesterday? Absolutely so.
Yeah, and I definitely.
Right.
Go ahead.
And you mentioned earlier the seed, when you saying tell the people need to know that this is your seed. And I'm not sure how much that works anymore, because people don't care about themselves, the lack of love and low self-esteem and lack of self-worth that's going on. It's almost like they don't care about themselves, and it's almost impossible to love their children. Like they have been hopeless, and they're passing that hopelessness on to the kids, men and women.
Oh, yeah, it's really hard, you know, by me being, like I said, I'm from the Chicagoland area, and I know it's been broadcasted nationwide, about how, you know, the murders up here are just getting out of control. It's just rampant. And it's like, that is a product of kids not having a father in their life. Kids want so little. They just want to be loved, and they want the guidance that we have for them. But when they don't have it, this is what you get, you know, because they're looking for love, and they find it out in the streets. And, of course, you know, we know that out in the street is not where our kids need to be, especially at a young age. And that's, those gang members are very smart and intelligent to know that, one, they need to get them while they're young, and two, they get less time when they're young. But they don't care about them. They're just soldiers. They're just pawns that they are using to get their job done. And right. And if we don't put some people in place, and I know it's hard, like you said, you know, we get in our own little perfect world, and all we care about is that everything's fine with my world, and I'm not going to worry about that. But the people who are out there doing it and who are trying to make a difference, they can't do it all. They can't be everywhere for everybody. And it's only one of them, and there are thousands of kids who need that one person or a person like them. And so we all need to pitch in together, even if it's just a little time here or donating some money or whatever. And time is really what we need to contribute. But if you can't do it as much as, you know, the other person does, do something, because this is just not so-and-so's problem down the street that her kid is acting up. This is all of our problem. This affects all of us. And right. The sooner that we realize that, the sooner that we can get involved. And it's unfortunate that people don't get involved until it affects them. It's almost like a disease. When somebody in your life is affected with cancer, or you're affected with cancer, you don't get involved in the cause until it affects you. You know, and it shouldn't be like that. You should get involved before it affects you, because then you could prevent a child from going down that road. But,
right.
You know, that's just me talking.
Right. And it's something, I know we're moving slow here, but I don't want to miss anything. It's something else you said in the acknowledgement where you said, because so many women can't believe that a strong-willed and self-assured woman like yourself can be submissive and willing to share what it takes, because so often strong women are looked upon as not being able to be submissive or being, what is the word for it? Help me here. You know, strong women are looked upon as I don't want to say bitter, but certainly not willing to be submissive or allow the man to be the man. And it's almost, okay, so
do you...
Right, that's it. So you find yourself saying, so do you want me to be a weak woman? Do you want a weak woman? And then vice versa with the men, you know, the good men, they tend to be looked over in a lot of instances. A good man is sometimes looked at as weak, you know.
Right.
And we got to change our mindset with that. Society has
grown up. Oh, definitely. You know, it's really weird that you know, women... guys who are not really aggressive, like a, you know, really like, you know, you know, they consider them weak. And it's like, it's not that they're weak, it's just that they don't feel like they have to, you know, to project their manliness in order to be a man. It's like, you know, I don't have to be out there fighting and yelling and screaming and pounding on my chest in order for me to be a man. But we as women see that as weak. But then on the flip side, when her man is like that and he wants a submissive woman, then she got a problem with that. It's like, no, I made more money than you. You know, I got more education than you, and I you know, I'm paying most of the bills, so you got to do what I say. No. You, just because you make more money, he's still the man. He's still the head. You can't strip a manhood away from him and expect him to be the man you want him to be. Now, if you want a weak man, if you want to be able to control this man, okay, then go and do it. And if he allows you to do it, then hey, if that's close to y'all both, then go for it. But you can't be mad because he won't step up. A perfect example, I know this lady who has three boys, and she ran everything. She has to be in control of everything. And she was always in control of the boys. She told them to, they allowed them to drink, you know, when they were young. So now some of them got DUIs, multiple DUIs, and, you know, and now she's frustrated because, you know, she's tired of going down to the jail and bailing them out. She's tired of them wrecking cars. She's tired of them not working. She's tired of paying, you know, their bills, washing their clothes. This is stuff that she's done for years, but now she's fed up with it. So what is she, and when, before, she would allow her husband to say anything to the boys. She always reprimanded them, you know. I mean, she was like the man of the house. So he just sat back and, you know, just let her handle it. Now that they're out of control and they're talking back to her, she wants him to step up. Well, you know, excuse my French. You took his balls away from him and put him on the shelf and expect him to now take him off and put him on and be the man? How does that happen? He's been under your thumb for all this time, and now you want him to come and be the man. You can't do that. Just like who women who say, I don't need a man. I don't need a man. Stop saying that. You do need a man. Not only do you need one, you want one. But if you keep on talking that, your wish is going to come true. The power of the tongue, I say about it all the time, the power of the tongue. You keep on saying, you don't need a man, I don't want a man, guess what, you're not going to get one. And I know they don't honestly mean that, but they say it all the time. You know, it's like, ooh, you know, it's just too much for me. So I just like, that's why I wrote the book.
and so to bring it back to Michael, and for you guys to really get this, again, fathers, brothers, uncles, whatever, best male friends ever, you all, we really need inspiration from you. We really need encouragement from you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Words are powerful in our lives.
And it's so, it is, because I told Michael, you know, after we had started talking for a while, you know, it's not that I'm changing myself to be who he wants me to be, but I don't want to do things that are not pleasing to him. You know, I don't want to give him the opportunity that, you know, okay, when he looks at me, I want him to look at me the way he looked at me when we first started talking. You know what I'm saying? I want him to always look at me like that. I'm not saying that he's always going to look at me like that because, you know, we're human. We don't always look our best at all times, especially in the morning or whatever. But what I'm saying, I always want to be pleasing to him. I always want him to look at me in a pleasing way. And if I'm doing something that's not pleasing him, I would like for him to tell me, because I don't want to, like, I hate to sound like I'm, you know, trying to be a people pleaser, but I just don't want him to, you know, to give him the opportunity to look someplace else. You know, his opinion of me is important. You know, it doesn't make me, it's just important to me. I just want him to be, you know, proud of who he's with, and that shows he wants to be me to be proud of who I'm with. You know, so that's just a thing that, you know, we as humans strive for, and that doesn't make you weak or controlling or whatever. It just makes you that you just want to please your mate. That's all I want to do. I just want to please my mate. And what he says is very, if it's negative, it affects me. It really affects me. But fortunately, we have a communication that we talk about everything, and if he knows how to talk to me about and tell me about things, and I know how to talk to him. And that's why I say communication is very important. You have to communicate with the person. You can't just look at him and say, oh, he's hot and I want to be with him. You have to develop a communication of relation, a relationship of communication, and you have to, you know, be able to talk about stuff. You have to share stuff, everything, aspect in your life, you know, sex, money, kids, you know, family. All these things need to be talked about before you make that commitment, because if those things are not in line, you're going to have some problems. If you're allowing your kids to do things and the person that you get involved with doesn't think that should be done, those are things y'all need to talk about, because if you're not on the same page about that, it's going to cause friction in your relationship. Anything is a caveat to cause friction in your relationship. Money, sex, and kids are one of the top three things that causes people to get divorced or not be in a relationship because they're on different pages about those. And I'm not saying that you should allow somebody to do something to your kids or allow somebody to treat you a certain way just so you can have them. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need to talk about it. Make sure that you guys are on the same page and don't just assume, because people assume that, okay, well, when we get married, this is the way it's going to be. Uh-uh. If y'all hadn't talked about it, everybody has their own perception of what, how they do things and how things should be. And if you haven't talked about them, guess what? When you get married, you're going to have an eye-opener. Unless you get blessed and find out that this person has the same values and ideals that you do, but most of the time, you don't. That's why you need to communicate. But you're right. It's very important that you have somebody that that man in your life or that woman in your life, you know, it's important. They encourage you, you know, and Michael is so supportive. I have him so blessed. He is such a wonderful man. He is very supportive of everything I do. He encouraged me to, you know, finish my book because I'm a huge procrastinator. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm a huge procrastinator, and I like to write. But like I said, I wasn't focused on one book. So he encouraged me, said, you need to just go ahead and finish. He wanted me to do the other one first, but I decided on this one first because I have a passion to empower women, and I have a passion for kids. You know, I want, you know, kids to be better and stuff. But women are my first passion. I have a powerful passion for them, and I just want everybody to be happy and in a good relationship and just, you know, encourage yourself. Be the best that you can be. Love yourself, and then go out there and, you know, prepare yourself to be with a man or a man be with a woman, you know, because I say women all the time, but I care about people in general. I really do. But women, I just want to help because I see that there's a lot of, you know, struggle with, you know, in relationships lately. And it's like, I don't know when it changed and shifted, but it did. And it's just like, I think we need to get back to the basics in order to, you know, have more successful relationships.
Right. And perception, you mentioned perception. That's so key because even as women, we need to be mindful of, and this is not a rule for everyone, but for the most, very few women that I know were brought up around positive relationships where they saw this order, where they saw the relationship in a godly order, in godly fashion, where there's a submissive woman, there's a man there that's so deserving of this submissiveness. He loves the Lord, he prays with his family, he keeps the house in order as far as the children and so forth. Very few, and not a perfect family anywhere, but where it's structured, where they're thriving to keep the house in order, very few young males or females my age saw that. We very few of us got to see that happening. You saw the breakups, you saw the child here, a child there, and vice versa. So already in your mindset, whether you think this or not, you have little faith in men or women and relationships. So you have to start to change your mindset there and talk about these things to the person that you are connecting with. Well, what do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? What was your childhood like? Do you believe in love? Do you believe in relationships?
Right. And yeah, because I put in my book, I talked so much, I can't remember. But there are, when I met Michael, you know, I had only had one other relationship since I, you know, left my ex. And I had talked to a lot of guys. And that was part of the reason why I got the idea about writing a book, because I was listening to all these guys because I started dating again after, you know, X number of years. And he said to me, you know, you don't have guys come over to your house, you know? I said, no, because my phone didn't ring and guys won't come over. And he said, that's kind of weird. I said, why is that weird? He said, so your kids don't have uncles and a bunch of uncles? So I said, well, they got uncles, but what do you mean, you know? And he said that, and it was really shocking to me because he said, well, some of the girls that I have, women that I have dated, you know, they got kids, and they'll say, well, you know, they know Uncle so-and-so and stuff like that. So they would introduce me to their kids as Uncle Michael. And they'd be like, Uncle, I'm not their uncle, you know. But I'm like, well, why would they do that? And it's because, you know, they don't want to confuse the kids. But that is confusing. You can't keep on bringing men in and out of your kids' life, and then when it don't work out, and they'd be like, well, what happened, Uncle so-and-so? And then what happens when you and Uncle so-and-so get intimate? You know, then now you confuse the kid even more. And it's like, what is going on? You know, I'm confused. It's just like, stop bringing people around your kids. Your kids are very, especially when they're young, they're very impressionable. And then when they're older, you know, they're like, okay, is this the way it's supposed to be? You know, am I supposed to just date a bunch of men or date a bunch of women? And, you know, if I don't like them, just kick them to the curb or, you know, what? I mean, our kids are watching us. They're watching us, and they're mocking us. So whatever you portray in the household, that's the type of relationship they're going to look for. Thank God I had a loving relationship. I didn't realize that my dad was very affectionate to my mom. But my mom was like, she got embarrassed that my dad would do, you know, hug on her, kiss on her in front of us. We just laugh and stuff. My mom was really embarrassed about it. But it's very important to see that love and kindness between your parents, because that's the model and the mold that you need to be looking for. Somebody who's going to love and cherish you just like your mom and dad did each other. We don't have a lot of that, and it's really important.
I agree. Okay, well, I think we have a caller. Wonderful.
Okay.
We're going to take a caller, and this is from area code 678 with the last four digits of 9759. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Oh, my God. I didn't mean to do this. Can you hear me, Tammy?
Yes, we can hear you.
First of all, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Tammy, and I'm sorry, what's the young lady's name I'm speaking with?
Laurie Hart.
Laurie, hi, how are you, hon?
I'm fine, and you? What can we answer for you? I'm excited to hear your question.
I didn't really have a question.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that I agree with everything that you're saying.
Okay.
For me, I would just say this, that I've been single for 4 years, and
okay.
I'm not dating. I have no kids. But I definitely do want a man.
Okay.
I'm not looking, and I can really say that I'm not looking.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a friend that I do talk to, and he is
mm-hmm.
different. He is very different. Lord, no, he is so different from what I'm used to. But you are right. I think that when we focus on someone or just materialistic things and that person looking, you want this person to look a certain way, I think we do miss out on good brothers. And
mm-hmm.
I myself have sat back and said, and my cousin, Carmen, you know, this is so true, I've sat back and said, well, he's not my type. Well, then,
right.
What is the type? If,
mm-hmm.
you know, because who knows, you're sitting here, and I say this all the time, that I'm waiting on God, I'm waiting on God, I'm waiting on God. But
mm-hmm.
you're right. Who's to say that God hasn't sent him to you already, and you're looking him bad because he's not a certain way?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Maybe he's not shaped a certain way. He doesn't look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But he
right.
does have those qualities. He has those qualities that you're looking for. But he just
mm-hmm.
doesn't look a certain way.
Mm-hmm. You're not the only one.
Right. You have to wake up and say, hey, sister, now you got to get this together. Because this guy
mm-hmm.
that you're painted, he has all the qualities you're looking for. He
mm-hmm.
is a man. He's a working
mm-hmm.
man, has a job. You like
mm-hmm.
the quality he possesses. So what's the problem? You know, I think sometimes we mess our own selves up, you know, because we don't want to, we don't want to believe that we can think like we're thinking, especially I can speak for me. You don't want to believe that you're thinking that way. And I too am a Christian. I love the Lord, and I'm a servant of God. But I too, you know, I make mistakes as well as everybody else. I'm not perfect. But I do know that I do want to be able, I tell people all the time, I want to be ready when that one come along. But I also want I don't want to be blind to the fact that when he comes along, he may be different, you know?
Right.
That's all I have to say, really. I didn't really have a question. I just want to just put that out there that I am one that you are talking about, that when it comes to a guy coming up approaching and he may, you know, just doesn't, it seems like he's just not the one. But I, too, have said, okay, I'm waiting on the one. But who's to say that that one haven't passed me by, or I haven't, you know, I was blinded to the fact, you know?
Right.
So,
exactly. You were looking for the gold package, and God sent you the purple package.
Right. So I can tell you now that my eyes are wide open. Not only to, you know, being open, you know, just having an open mind, you know.
Oh.
And
exactly.
Just because somebody look a different way, or maybe his walk is different, you know, not looking over that brother, because the next brother, he may walk, you know, have the walk, have the talk, have the look, but so jacked up. So, you know,
so
my eyes are open now. So I thank you. Thank you for this book, and I will be getting your book. So thank you.
Oh, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. I'm glad. That's my whole purpose, is to give you the information, and hopefully you can benefit from it, because I'm not here to chastise you or to judge you. I'm just giving you some information that could probably benefit, that you can benefit from, to have a better relationship, or to see guys in a different light, and for guys to see women in a different light. Because I talk to the guys in the book, too. I'm not just on the women, because, you know, everybody is accountable for the things that go in their relationship, and we all have to be better people to have better relationships. So I thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, too.
Thank you.
Okay.
I love this gold package and this purple package, and as you were sharing that with her, for those of you who have not been on with us the entire time, you know, you may, as we said earlier, you may accept the gold package, and once you open it up, you want the purple contents that God has sent you. You want all those things, that kindness, the ability to love you and appreciate you. You want to open up that gold package, but you want the purple contents. You want those things to be in that person, and when they're not, you know, you try. That's what you start trying to change, and why aren't you like this, and vice versa. But you accept that purple package and find those gold things within him, because I'm telling you, at the end of the day, those are the things that matter. Those are the things that fulfill you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tammy, I love that analogy.
Yeah, I like what you said there, and that's what I thought about. Said that, you know, we need to look. The gold is what's on the inside. I'm serious. At the end of the day, I don't care how fine. Just what kind of car he is, you're going to hate for that fine man to pull up in that fine car and come through that fine door. You're going to hate his look. Your inside turned.
Right. You know, we've got to look for the good qualities inside, you know, not just the exterior. We got to look in the interior. You can't just have this pretty package and never open it and not know what's on the inside. You want to know what's on the inside of that package. Yeah, it looks good on the outside, but what's on the inside of that package? Is there a person of integrity, a person of kindness and love, you know, a person that's going to protect and provide for you, or, you know, be that submissive person? You want to know what's inside of that package, not just the beauty on the outside. Everybody likes a pretty package, but we want to know what the context are in on the inside. So,
all right, it's like, you know, I just thought about this. It's like, you know, think about your favorite car, BMW, Mercedes, whatever it may be, with no motor. You ain't going nowhere.
And you know, Robert Townsend, in his movie, I know I refer to a lot of movies, but there was a movie, what's it, Hollywood Shuffle, I think it was, And he had these little episodes that he did, and he was talking about this girl that came to his office and wanted his assistance. And he said she was fine, but her breath was kicking. But do you throw away Rolls Royce because it got a dent in it?
And right.
There you go. You know, I mean, of course you don't. Yeah, it may not be it may not be perfect, but they're perfect for you. So, you know, people got to stop, you know, looking at the outside and look on the inside and work from there.
Well, we have another caller.
Okay.
And I'm going to bring this caller in from the 901 area code, last 43521. I know who this is. Hello.
Hi, Tammy, and hi to your guests. I have a question for her. While were you talking about the man wanting and waiting for that good relationship, or the woman waiting for that good and perfect relationship as close as it could come to perfection, how important do you think learning to, before that relationship comes, how important do you think the idea of learning to be alone is with self, being content in that, learning more about self and just simply coming to a place in your life where you're okay with being alone? Do you think that there is a positive relationship between that and being able to know when that good person that's good for your relationship comes along?
Oh, that's definitely extremely important. I think that the only time that you can pick a perfect person for you, or a compatible person for you, because I hate to say perfect, but a compatible person for you, is that you're happy with yourself. That person does not complete you. That person compliments you. They don't. It's not like you're waiting on this person to come into your life to be alive, because you're already alive. You just want somebody to share your life with. You don't have to have somebody. If you want to go to the mall, if you want to go to the movies, if you want to go to dinner, you're perfectly fine going with yourself or your girlfriends or your family. You don't have to have a guy. And if you see a couple over there that's happy in love, you're happy for those people. And then when it's your turn, you'll be happy for yourself. So it's definitely important for you to be happy with you. And don't put a time limit on it. Don't say, okay, I've been by myself for 5 years, okay, and it's time for me to have somebody. There is no time limit on the right person for you. If he doesn't come 20 years from now, it's the right person for you. So don't rush it, because when you find yourself rushing to be with somebody, that's when you make the bad decision.
Absolutely. I agree with that so much. Thank you. Well, one more thing I wanted to ask, too, about, I think it was about learning, I guess, to, I think so many times in relationship, and this is because I'm a senior citizen, and looking at my relationship, I think so many times you think perfection in a relationship is always in agreeing with the person that you're with or who's in that relationship with you. And I think sometimes if you got the basic principles down, you don't always have to agree. We can always find interest in disagreements, and sometimes I think we run away from that. That I can feel differently about some things from you and don't always have to agree at everything, but we can still care about each other. And I just, what are your thoughts about that?
Oh, definitely, because, you know, my thing is, you don't go into a relationship trying to change somebody. I told the guys that I was dating, I didn't want them to be, and it's so easy now on the Internet for people to be somebody that they're not, you know, and I say you're missing out when you change who you are. So you need to just be who you are. Let those people be who they are, and if you are not in line with that person or you don't like what you see, guess what? You can move on. You don't have to stay there, and you don't have to agree with that. You know, people, I'm concerned about people who are in relationships who never disagree.
Absolutely.
Something's going to be wrong with that relationship. I'm an individual just like that person is an individual. We're not going to agree on everything. But the key is that as we get together and we have a discussion about it, we respect each other's opinions instead of just trying to change that person to come to my side. It's not about that. It's not about being right all the time. It's about getting along and loving each other.
Compromise, compromise, compromise. Enjoy the show. Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I think those are two very good, valid points, and I want to go back to both of them, particularly with starting with being alone. I think is so important, especially for women. I find that, and I can say this for myself as well, I am so okay with going to eat by myself, going to the movies, but so often you see women, they can't do anything or won't do anything unless a man is in their life, and then they come alive. And then as soon as that man is gone, they go back into this shell where you should be doing these things anyway. You should be going out, having fun, whatever that fun is. I'm not saying club, but if that's your thing, because I like to dance, and when I want to go, I'm going to go. But what's your thing? If you don't have a thing, get a thing.
You can
play tennis. You can play golf. You can go bowling. You can go walk to the park, exercise. And it's like they come alive, and then all of a sudden when it's over, if they either go back to being dead or just move right to the next man. Spend some time with yourself. Get to know who you are, because then, you know, a man doesn't need to define you and a woman doesn't need to define a man. That's so important about learning to be alone, being comfortable with being with you and enjoying, embracing life, going to do those things, embracing life, you know, and then about always agreeing. I think women are more, I call this women just need to grow up some. We just need to grow and stop being so, we take some women, I think I can speak for myself, in growing, you look back and see so many times where you've overreacted when things just, it wasn't even really that important. Just because of what went on inside of you, you need someone to be in agreement with you. And it strikes a fire that doesn't need to burn or start. So in most cases, I find women need to take this stone here. We just need to grow up sometimes and stop thinking that this man's supposed to think like us, know what we're thinking, know what we want, when we want it. That's just a bit childish. You have to grow up and speak, be vulnerable. If you are in love with this person, be willing to be vulnerable. To the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with, learn to be vulnerable, because holding it in is not going to help anybody.
And to touch on what you said about, you know, about when you were saying that the women, we want to be right, I think that's a lot of times why we share too much information with our girlfriends about our relationship, because we know that our girlfriends and our friends are going to agree with us. They're going to be, especially the ones who hate on you. So that's why you need to be careful what information you share with your friends. I don't share any information about my man with my girlfriends. I just don't do that, because it opens up a whole can of worms, and even with my family members. You know, I share the good stuff, but if we're having an argument or something, that's something I keep between me and him. We talk it out. We work it out. But when you feel like you want somebody to agree with you and be on your side and root you on, you go to your girlfriends, and of course they're going to say, yeah, girl, that no good man, you need to get rid of him and stuff like that. And then, you know, next thing you know, you fighting with him, and you done lost a good man because you listen to your girlfriend. You can't listen to everybody. You can't share everything about your relationship with everybody.
Right. And some things you just need to ask yourself, why am I telling this anyway? What am I, you know, some things we want to tell, it's to make ourselves feel better and to validate some things that you know that's not there. You know, for that confirmation, just to allow you the room to stay in something that you know really is not what you want. You just need some validation. Oh, it's okay, like you said in the book, you know, it's okay, you know, he's not that bad, he's not doing this, or she, vice versa.
Right, you know, and you got to stop that confirmation. You get your confirmation from your partner. That's the confirmation you need. Oh, God. You don't need it from your girlfriends or your male friends, because a lot of people, contrary to the popular belief, people who say that your friends are not always your friends and are not always going to have your best interest at heart. They are out to kill, steal, and destroy, and you need to recognize.
And another thing to really be careful about with that is you have to realize where a person is, because very few people who are in the dark, unless they're willing to let the light in and they're they've acknowledged that they're in the dark, they really can't give you good information anyway. So it's like we go to someone, we're trying to get over something, and we go to someone who's still in that same something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who has overcome and who can tell you how, and really, you know, it's like the saying, make sure the people in your boat are rowing with you and not against you. So if you row this way and they're going the opposite way, where are you guys really going? And I think a lot of that takes place between friends, whether we, men don't do a whole lot of talking, but if we would start talking more to those people that we want to share our life with, it might be a little bit better because they will be able to learn more about us as well. So we've kind of went all over, but I want to just briefly kind of go through, and we won't hold you guys too much longer. Now, if you have questions and comments, we welcome them, and we're going to give you the information for the book again. But just to give you an idea of what you will be getting in this book, a few of the things that stood out to me, and I just kind of went through each chapter, and out of the first one, and I'm just going to skip the introduction. There was a lot there I got out of the introduction, but excuses, the blame game is one of the chapters, and it talks about excuses, several, and I won't give you all of them because we do want you to get the book. One of the excuses, I need companionship. I don't want to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that a lot. And so chapter one has a number of excuses that she talks about in the book. Chapter two is her self-assessment chapter, and what stood out for me there, I mean, that was a huge, it was hard to pick just one there because self-assessment is so important even before going into a relationship, because how do you know what you do want or what you don't want if you don't know who you are? You expect someone to make you happy or determine when you're sad, when you need to know things. But what stood out was low self-esteem is the one that I picked, was low self-esteem. In your chapter three, you talk about accountability, another huge one. But because kids are my passion, of course, I'm stuck on the one, introducing your kids. I think so often we do that far too many times and far too soon. I think we can date without having. I think by the time they meet our children, we should really know who this person is, not just by what he said, but also by his actions as well. Number four, another good one. All of them are good, y'all, but we talked about this one already, waiting on God. I remember that one. That's in your chapter four, seeking, and you talked about that earlier as well, the list versus the standards. And, again, there are several compartments in each chapter. I mean, like chapter four has five things that breaks down the list, seeking, and then list versus standards. Chapter five is about selecting, and the friends with benefits is what stuck with me on that one. Not even much you have to say about that one. That's kind of self-explanatory. And then chapter six, submission. We've talked about that some. Chapter seven, communication and trust. We've talked about communication as well because it's so important to communicate, not with just your friends as we just talked about, but you if that's someone that you're trying to get to know and think about spending your life with, it's the communication starts there, and it should be about everything. And I know sometimes it's hard to do that. Sometimes it's hard to really open yourself up to someone and say, this is what I've been through, this is how it has made me feel, this is my perception, which is my reality based on how I've lived my life, what I've seen, what has happened to me, but I love you or I like you or I want to get to know you, and this is me. It's hard to do that, but I'm telling you, when you finally do that, it is so freeing. And if the person goes, hey, good, because you found out sooner than later. Chapter 8, here, set up, attack. That whole chapter is good. that one's good. Then chapter 9, releasing the control. I just marked the whole chapter 9 on that because really. Can I tell them what the little inserts, using the children as pawns? Can I just tell them that part, the pretty package?
Oh, sure. Sure, go ahead.
the belitterer, the snooper, living in the past. You can't handle the truth and withholding intimacy. That's chapter 9. So that makes you just want to kind of start at chapter 9. And then 10, hunting the attached man, another one that I marked the entire chapter. And then 11, you sum it up with practice what I speak. And I love the way you did the questions, or I don't, or the do's and the don'ts, basically, not the questions. But you guys, a really, really good book. Again, don't allow the title, as you can see, she's not saying that there are no good men and that there are no good women by any means. It's basically to get you to really realize that there are, and that you could pass them up. You have to know that you are a good man and that you are a good woman in order to even feel like you deserve that good woman. Because sometimes you're passing up those good men and good women because you know you're not right.
Exactly.
So the book is about so much more, and I'm looking for the part because I don't want to misquote you. Here it is. You said, what I'm saying is that there are a good percentage of women whose actions are causing men to behave badly. You say that in the introduction.
Right. Yeah. Because we hold the power. We definitely hold the power. And if you understand your power, you'll understand what I'm saying, and you'll make that man treat you like the woman you want to be treated. And you have the power to do that. You know, the men are the chasers. They're the chasers. They want what we got. You know, not that we don't want what they got, but they are the natural hunters. But, I mean, this is just in their DNA. This is the way it is. And they chase us and they pursue us. So make them work for what they pursue. Don't give it up so easy. Don't be so conforming to them. Make them conform to you, your standards. I'm not trying to say make a slave out of them or anything, but if you want to think in a particular way, you got the power to do that. If he don't want to do it, then next. I mean, he may find somebody who, you know, is going to accept the way he is, but don't let it be you.
Right. So the lines are open, you all, and I'm going to check the chat line. I do have a message in the chat line. This is great information and advice. Everyone should be listening to tonight's show. Great and sound wisdom. Thanks for this. And that's coming from a male, and I don't know your name, but you have to tell me. I'm sure I can, but I always just like to ask before. So if you're still on with us, and it appears that you are, tell me that I could say who you are. This is an author as well, but that's coming from a man. Great information and advice. Everyone should be listening to tonight's show. Great and sound wisdom. Thanks for this. But again, you know, I can see that coming from this young man because never met him, but you can tell when someone's doing what they're supposed to do and handling the family the way that they need to be handling. Not saying that you're ever going to have a perfect relationship, perfect household, but there's order. There's
right,
order.
Exactly.
You know, and so that's what
order
it's about.
And respect. Yep, order, respect, and love. You
right.
know, so.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So give us the information once again about, okay, so that's fine. Go ahead and tell them my name. Tony, okay, Tyrone Tony Reed Jr. is his name. And I wish he feel free to come in and tell us what's going on with you if you want to call in. But this is a young man as well, Soldiers Against, so, let's see, you have to make sure I do this right because he has a book, Soldiers Against. You need to come in and tell me that, Tyrone. I don't want to misquote that. But we had him on almost a year or so ago in talking about, you know, spiritual warfare that we go through, basically, how we, even in our relationships, you know, we need to even realize that why would, and if you're not in Christian or if you don't believe in this kind of stuff, then just close your ears for a minute. But, you know, why would Satan want relationships to join and become one, people to become one as God would see it. Why would he want that? Why would he allow that, people, first of all? So we need to first realize that he's going to attack people that are meant for one another, people that could join together and make life work. He is going to attack that. So you have to be, you have to realize, I mean, sometimes I think about this texting. I think we talked about that earlier. You text, and I think about the number of times I text people, and it's like, I didn't get that. You think about men and women who are trying to establish a relationship who are communicating by text. You pick up the phone and call, because your text may not go through. And sometimes we as women don't believe that. But I can vouch. I was sitting here a couple of Saturdays ago, had texted a young lady some information, and she said, Tammy, I never got it. And I said, but I know I sent it because it shows that it sent out my phone. Well, I showed it to her, and sure enough, it shows sent. Never showed up in her phone. She showed it to me where we had more conversations, but that one never did show up. So imagine what this would do to a relationship.
Exactly.
You know, the
distrust
that it will set in.
Mhm. Yeah, especially if you're sitting there waiting on somebody, you know, and it's like, I understand that these kids nowadays, that technology is the big thing for them, but they're losing a lot by having face-to-face communication. It's just a lot being lost in translation when they're sending out texts and Facebook stuff or whatever. It's just lost, and the art of talking to somebody face-to-face, looking at their facial expressions and really trying to read what they're saying, I mean, you can get a better understanding of what they mean instead of reading a text that, you know, says one thing, but you read it a different way, because there is a lot of interpretations in words. I don't care what people say. There are a lot of interpretations in words, and when you read it, you get one person, 5-10 people can read the same text and get 10 different interpretations. And so why would you risk that in your relationship when you can just talk to that person, even if it's not face-to-face? On the phone, you can still get a better read than you can through a text. So I don't get it.
And then, as we talked earlier today, think about this. I hate to go here, but I'm just going to keep it real. A man can be married and go in the bathroom and text you. A woman can be married and say, get up and go to the bathroom. You know, when a man got to get up and take his phone to the bathroom with him, and vice versa, a woman as well. Really, mm-hmm. Why?
Exactly. And why? Here's another thing. You may think you're talking to John on the other end or Mary on the other end, where it could be vice versa. You know,
right.
You don't know who you're talking to, texting to on the other end of that phone. You just know that you're getting a text from somebody who says who they was. You have no idea because you haven't heard them, you haven't seen them. All you've been doing is texting to them. For real?
right.
I don't get that.
A relationship through text. You know, quick text, I'm on my way, that's fine. But if you could pick up the phone and call, because tone, even the tone when you're communicating over the phone, you know, you could tell when something's wrong with some people that you know and you've established a relationship with. The tone.
Exactly.
In relationship. And Tyrone has said that, I think this is wonderful as well. My wife has been very encouraging to me, and like tonight's author, my wife encouraged me to finish my novel also. So, and that's what relationship is about. Encouraging people through their passion, their purpose, so that they can do what they love. It's so many people walking around, including myself, with things that need to be brought up and brought out. You're holding on to those things because you mentioned procrastination. I think procrastination sometimes is a lack of faith. And when someone comes on and says, I have faith in you, I know this will work, you're good at this, you begin to move on that. And that's why we can encourage one another, men and women. Especially coming from the person that you love and want to spend your life with, or you want to spend your life with. Those words have power.
Oh, definitely. The power of love is, I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, there's nothing like, what I'm about to say, I don't want to take any credit away from Michael, but eventually I probably would have finished my book. But he motivated me to get it done faster, just say that. Because he's like, how long you been writing this? and when you gonna finish it? You know, you know you want to do that. Go on and do that. You know, I mean, it's just a few simple words that can get you motivated, to get you going. And it's, and when it's sincere and backed up by love, you know that, hey, okay, that's all I needed. Here I go. You know, and people don't realize that hey, the power of the tongue, the power of the tongue.
Going back to Michael too, think about how the book, like you said, yeah, you probably would have finished it, but I can almost bet that some things would have been different in here, because you were able to experience that love and realize there are some good men who are genuinely concerned about what I'm doing, how I feel, that I'm operating in my purpose and my passion. Imagine the words that it helped to flow into this book, out of you into this book. The life that he bought the book, that's the word for it.
And, you know, and he gave me some confirmation on some things, because regardless of how much I listened to men and hear and wrote down what they had said and, you know, compared it and stuff, Michael gave me confirmation that, you know, okay, this is how men think. This is what men do. You know, I couldn't give myself that because I'm not a man. I can only operate in my being a woman. But he gave me the confirmation of some of the things that I, you know, assumed, but I didn't really know, you know, but there you go. So he did contribute a lot to the book without, you know, actually trying to contribute, you know.
Right. And the Tyrone, the person that I'm talking to through the chat, his book is Soldiers of Light Against Darkness. And so he talks about, it's really he came on and did one of our shows, maybe twice I think he's been on, but it's Soldiers of Light Against Darkness, talking about that spiritual warfare that we really need to recognize. So we do have a caller, and I know you guys, we didn't mean to go this long, so we're going to take this call. We have 901 with the last four of 8714. You're on the air with us.
All right. I really enjoyed this conversation, and my mind is telling me it's best if I buy the book to learn more. And this is a man speaking or a male speaking, and there was a few things. Well, it was a subject that you kept bringing up from time and time, and you was talking about that men are the They're the natural chasers, you know, and that type of thing. Well, for me, I don't know if that's valid to me, because I'm not I don't know how to chase women per se, or approach women. So, but usually the relationships that I've had with females, usually the female comes to me instead, and we blossom or we don't blossom. But I'm one of those men that I just do not know how to chase women, and really I'm not quote unquote trying to chase women, but I find it better when a woman comes to me. And I was thinking about other things that I was wanted to ask you or comment about, but I noticed, like, for me, and I'm just speaking for me, like, I do have like a fear. In a sense, when it comes to dating women, especially black women, in a sense. I mean, I'm black myself, and I remember reading this, not reading, but watching this documentary called Diaries of a Tired Black Man. It came out back in 2009, and
I watched that.
Okay, and for me, it's like I met this woman a while back, and she had a kid. With someone else, and she was really highly attracted to me, but just to make a long story short, I wasn't attracted to her in the same way. So I thought about maybe, like, trying a relationship out, because we did hang out at times, and I didn't know her son, but I didn't want it to turn into, well, let me go ahead and date this woman just to see how it is, knowing that I'm not just attracted to her like that, and then we end up, like, not liking each other at the end. We was friends at first, but we don't really like each other as friends anymore because of us trying to date. And some of that was going back to fear, and also not feeling that I was good enough. And I think And that's the issue that I have to work with, because in general, when a woman in these days wants the materialism and the body and all these other type of things, it kind of feels as if a man is not good enough. And, yeah.
Can I just say this? Laura, before you, because I know him, and I'm glad you said, I'm glad you're calling in, and I'm glad you took it on a little bit further. But let me just first say this: that you are a fine brother. You have a lot to offer a young woman, and if a young woman can't see that, you need to move on and thank God that she can't see it, because she's not the one for you. As you said that you're not the chaser, I'm actually taking notes down when people call, and as everybody talks, I take notes. And I actually wrote why. I put a question mark then when you said you find it better when women come to you or chase you. And what I wrote is some of that may have something to do with how women have, you felt maybe rejected by women, you've approached women and things like that. But don't allow that to stop you, because you really want the woman that, I'm going to say, I would think, you want, in most cases, a woman that won't chase you, that mm-hmm. will allow you to approach her and show her who you are and allow her to see who you are. So don't allow what has happened in the past. And I can't say for sure if you did, but I do want to say, because I know you and I've met you, and you are a wonderful young man. You have a lot to offer. It's not about the things, the money. It's who you are inside, and that shows who you are, the caring, loving young man that you are. You don't see that in some 45- and 50-year-old men. So if you see something, and you see something in a woman that you think that is a special woman, you go up and you talk. Don't allow that to stop you. So I'm just going to say that, and then I'm going to turn it over to the expert, because she wrote the book.
I'm not an expert. I'm just a person who cares about people and share my experiences. But I would say that I agree with Tammy. I don't even know you, and just by listening to you speak, I can tell that you are a very kind and loving man. And I do think that there has been something that happened to you in your past that is causing you not to chase women. And I'm not going to judge you on that. If that's how you want to be, that's how you want to be. But I do think that you are a natural chaser. And let's remove the word chase. Pursuer. You do want to be the pursuer. You do want to seek out the woman that you want to be with. And I'm going to tell you a little secret that you may not know. We like that. We want that. Because it shows confidence. And most women want a confident man. The ones who don't want a confident man want to be able to control him. So you want to stay away from them. But you definitely are probably, I will say you are a pursuer. You just haven't gathered the confidence to do it because of something that probably has happened back in your past. So I would just say, you know, work on it slowly. Pursue the woman that you want. And if it's not working out, you know, she doesn't like who you are, you don't like who you are, move on. That's the beauty of this world, and that we have choices, that we don't have to stay with the person that we either have kids with or that we hook up with. We have the options of saying, okay, it's not working out, let me move on to the next one. And I don't want that to seem like it's cold, but you don't want to spend the rest of your life or any good portion of your life with somebody that you're not happy with. That's just a waste of time, effort for both parties, because I don't want to be, I've been there. I've wasted a lot of time with somebody that, you know, I wasn't happy with. Now, the benefit of that is that I got 3 kids out of it, and I'm very happy with my 3 kids. I'm very blessed. But if I could have the kids and not have the relationship and I could do it over, I would. But I know that's not possible. So don't spend a lot of time in a relationship you're not happy with, and just move on. Did you say that this woman that you were with, you guys were friends before, but because of the relationship that you guys had, you guys are not friends anymore?
Oh, no. It was what happened was that we was like friends at first, or we was treating each other like friends. And and really, she wasn't like, well, she really wasn't like the ideal woman that I had at first, and it really had a lot to do with how we were thinking, or we had different. Really, it was like the way we grew up. We had different.
Oh, okay.
How we grew up, that type of thing, and eventually I did have some likeness on her, but then I'm like, I don't know. It's just I thought about trying it out, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to like mess up the friendly relationship of that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Okay, well, that's a good thing because I've done that. I was had a friend. We had been friends for a long time, and then we decided to be in an intimate relationship, and now we're not speaking. Oh, you know, and this has been a long time. And it's like, you know, you have to tread lightly in those type of situations. But I just want to say, by you making that decision to not go forth in that relationship, that means you're the pursuer. You're the pursuer. You made that conscious decision not to go into that relationship because either for whatever reason that you didn't want to ruin your friendship or she just wasn't the right woman for you, you showed the pursuer, you know, skills that you have. You know, because she didn't come to you, did she? Or did you say she came to you?
Well, she came to me, and she was like, you
okay.
Know, I like this for you, and that, I'm attracted to you, all that type of stuff.
But you make the decision not to be with her. So that means that you do have some pursuing in you. Because if you were not the pursuer, if you didn't have any pursuer in you, you would have just said, okay, I'll be in a relationship with you. You would have just succumbed to her request. But you didn't because you're a natural pursuer. So I will say that you are. You just have to, you know, work on it being a little bit more aggressive with it. You know, because women like that, I'm going to tell you, women like strong, confident men, and if you're a strong, confident man, you know, you can get any woman that you want. You know, just make sure she's the right one for you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Any more questions or any comments?
No, that's something for me to chew on.
Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank
you. Yeah, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to check the chat line, and okay, let's give out the information once more. Lori, if you'll give out the website again and how to order the book and any other information you want to share, then I have just a few things that I want to close it out with.
Okay, oh, sure. So if you want to purchase my book, you can go to empowerment4life4.com. And you can click on the buy now and purchase my book. Or if you're interested and you live in the Chicagoland area, preferably the western suburbs, and you want to audition for my play, you can send me an email at lhardy, H-A-R-D-Y, at empowermentforlife.com. And remember, it's the number 4, not F-O-R. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
And you're going to be hopefully soon hopefully, you guys, we're going to get her here for a book signing. I'm going to have some information that I'll share with you guys probably in the next week of something that the Butterfly Evolution will be doing in August, but I don't want to give that out right now. It's a huge surprise, and hopefully she will be here. And in addition to that, you know, maybe someone out there will hear this because she does want to take her play on the road. I know there's person that I can connect, a couple of people that I can connect you with in Atlanta that I've just kind of come about through this show and connecting with people. Mm-hmm. And Atlanta was a great place to do it as well. But I know we would love to have you here in Memphis, and I would love to come there and see the play as well. So for those of you who have family in Chicago, we talked about this last week, let's support, you know, order her book. Again, Butterfly Evolution has no financial ties to anyone that we bring on the show, books or not. But if you know someone in the Chicago area or if you're close to it and you want to get down there and go on a vacation, we talked about doing new things, stepping out of your box, living life. So maybe if you're here in Memphis, I would like to go. If someone would like to connect and go with me, great, let's take the ride. So just connect, share this show with others, tell them about the book, tell them about the play, and if you know someone that can you can connect her with that can help in their areas, because she does want to take this play on the road. That's how you receive, is by of helping people get and giving. So I just wanted to say that. So in closing, I found this. I love quotes, and I found a couple of good quotes today, just because I was looking for things from reading the book and talking about what we're talking about tonight. Before reading the quote, because I'm going to close with that, I just want to remind you guys, if you don't have someone in your life, still live life. Take this time, as our caller mentioned earlier, about taking that time to be alone and being okay with that. Take this time to really grow and be okay and comfortable with being alone. Go somewhere do some things by yourself. Embrace life. Embrace life, whether you're with someone or not. If you're with someone, then embrace life together. Still go new places, try new things, communicate more, love a little better. Be the first to say, I'm sorry. Be the first to say, I was wrong. Be the first to say, can we talk? You know, don't think because someone doesn't agree or say something exactly like you want them to say it or do something exactly like you want them to do it. Many people have broke up and are still in love. It wasn't that they wasn't in love or didn't love each other. They didn't know how to. And they didn't stay long enough to realize how to. So if you're able to grow up and make it work, then both of you do that. But don't be miserable. Know who you are. Love yourself. And live life. Life is too short. God has promised us too many things for us to be miserable in life. Love is supposed to be joyous. It's supposed to, as both of our authors tonight have said, people that love them, the power of love is what you said, Lord. You know, it encourages you and it empowers you. It strengthens you. It allows you to feel like you have someone in your corner. You always have a resting place.
Right. Exactly.
So, wonderful, wonderful book, you guys. I ordered it, and I think I got it in maybe 3-4 days. Like, it came pretty, pretty quick. And I was so excited. I sent Lori a dancing message. I said, I'm dancing. I got my book. But powerful, powerful book. And, again, the website is Empower for Life. Empower, the number four, empowerment for the number four now. Life.com. And you select buy now, and you'll be able to get it in just a few days. And if you can buy the book and give it to a couple or a man or a woman, if you have the ability to do that. Bless someone with the book. Bless someone.
Right.
That's what we do on the Butterfly Evolution Show. So I have a few more to order and give out as well. But this is a quote, and we'll end with this. It says, we are all seeking that special person who is right for us. But if you've been through enough relationships, you begin to suspect there's no right person, just different flavors of wrong. Why is this? Because you yourself are wrong in some way, and you seek out partners who are wrong in some complementary way. But it takes a lot of living to grow fully into your own wrongness. And it isn't until you finally run up against your deepest demons, your unsolvable problems, the ones that make you truly who you are, that we're ready to find a lifelong mate. Only then do you finally know what you're looking for. You're looking for the wrong person, but not just any wrong person, the right wrong person, someone who lovingly gaze upon and think, this is the problem that I want to have. I will find that special person who is wrong for me in just the right way. I read that today and I loved it, because if we all just be real, we got stuff. We need somebody to accept our stuff and love us through it and help us, help each other grow together. If you're looking for Mr. Right, Mr. Perfect Right, Mr. Perfect, it ain't going to happen, because you ain't Miss Perfect. You're not Mr. Perfect or Miss Perfect. I'm not Miss Perfect. That's what this says to me. It's about finding that right, wrong person, because we all just got a little bit of wrong in us. And they can't love everything about us. And I can't love everything about the person that I love. I just can't. But I can love them.
Exactly.
So I really love that. And that's by Galloway Kennel. It says, let our scars fall in love is what it ends with. Let our scars fall in love. That's powerful to me. Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Please, please get the book, Lori. If maybe we can allow a few months, I'd like for those of you who read it, please share with us that you read it. Send Lori a message. Let her know that you've read it and what you got out of it, because maybe we can bring her back. And for those of you who have read the book, we can go through and answer questions, make it, you know, make it a good one, because you'll have probably more questions about some of the things that she's put in here. But it is a powerful read. It will really motivate you to love yourself first and find out what's going on with you so that you can better love someone else. Final words, Lori, anything?
I appreciate you having me on. I really enjoyed myself, and I hope that I have touched someone and they benefit from it and know that it's coming from my heart, that I genuinely want everyone to have a good relationship. I'm not out here to point fingers. I'm just giving some information that I've learned from my experience in a long life, and hopefully it will benefit you. So.
Thank you. And that is so well said. On that, we can end, because it's all about identifying who you are, where you've come from, and sharing your mistakes, your past hurts, your pains, and what has helped you to get where you are now. And you really did that in this book. So thank Michael, thank your kids, your parents, and thank you for taking the time to share where you've come from, where you are now, and where you're going. So we will be in touch, and thank you so much. Sorry for keeping you so late.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. And to all of our listeners, thank you all. We'll be back next Monday, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. I think we've played for the last, I shouldn't say played, but we've had some fun the last few shows. So we're going to get back into those deep, deep things. Next week's topic is going to be on distractions. So be sure to tune in next Monday, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Remember, all shows are archived and available 24/7. I had mentioned earlier that I was going to share the trash can concept, because we have new people on the line tonight. The trash can concept is what we do to just encourage change. If you have not ever, please do move your trash can, preferably in your kitchen. Move it from one side of the kitchen to the other, and then monitor or determine how many times you go back to the place that you moved it from. That promotes change. As you go back to that place, think about how the mind keeps up with even the smallest things that we do, and those things become habits. And habits is certainly, you've maybe heard this before, we sow a thought and we reap a habit. We sow a thought, we reap an action. We sow an action and we reap a habit. We sow habit and we reach character, and the character creates our destiny. So we have to change our mindset, even with relationships and learning to love one another. You have to just step away from your past, step away from what you've seen growing up, step away sometimes from just what you think you know. Open your mind, open your world, and learn to love yourself a little better first. And then open your life up and be willing to be vulnerable and share your life with someone else. So continue to move your trash cans. Continue to change your mindset. Really work to renew your mind. On that note, I want to say thank you again, Lori. Cannot thank you enough. Please, please, please support Lori with her book. Please go out and order the book. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
All right. Thank you.